You're listening to the preaching podcast of Victory Baptist Church in Roanoke Rapids, North Carolina, led by Pastor Jeremy Kobernak. It is our desire that you will be helped by this Bible message.
We're in John chapter 3, we'll be reading verses 14 through 18. I'll begin on verse number 14, and I'd like for you to join me out loud reading on the odd verses. The Bible says, beginning in John chapter 3, verse 14, "And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God."
Amen. I want you to notice while you're standing there, verse number 15, the word eternal. See that word, eternal life. That's a wonderful thing if you know the Lord. Verse number 16, everlasting life. Again, that's a wonderful thing. We rejoice because of all that awaits us in heaven. But the Bible says that there are some that will enjoy everlasting life, eternal life in heaven. But then the Bible says there are some who will be condemned. There will be some, verse number 16, who will perish. Verse number 18, "He that believeth on him is not condemned." Hallelujah. "But he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God." Notice verse number 36. "He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him." We have talked a lot this year about our theme, eternity. And we've talked about living for eternity. We've talked about looking to eternity. We've talked about the crowns that can be earned and how we ought to live, not just for the temporal, but we should live for the eternal. But this morning, I want to challenge you with this question, most important question you'll ever be faced with in your life. And that is this: are you prepared for eternity? We do not know when this life will end, but we know that someday this life will end, and this body will die. But the Bible tells us that we have a soul that will never die. We have a soul that will live somewhere forever. And that will either be in heaven or it will be in hell. And you and I must be prepared. Father, I pray that you'd speak to our hearts. Give us what we need from your word. I pray that you would help me to say things very clearly, very concisely. I pray that the Word of God would be delivered this morning in a way that we would not miss it, we would not be distracted from it, but I pray that all of our focus and all of our attention would be on the most important question that we could ever be faced with, and that is, where will we spend eternity? Lord, I pray that you'd work in our hearts in this time. We pray in Jesus' name, amen. Thank you for standing. You may be seated. The Bible says in Deuteronomy 33:27 that our God is eternal. His arms are everlasting. Genesis chapter 2, the Bible says the Lord God formed man out of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. We know that heaven is real. Jesus spoke about heaven. The Bible records for us many things that we know about heaven. And by the way, we don't even know everything about heaven. Our eye has not seen and our ear has not heard. Neither hath it entered into the heart of man the things that God has prepared for them that love him. Heaven's better than we could ever imagine. But I want to tell you that not only is heaven real, but hell is a real place. Jesus spoke more about hell in his ministry and in his preaching and teaching. He spoke more about hell than he did about heaven. You say, well, why would he do that? I think that Jesus wanted to make sure that we all understand that as real as heaven is and as wonderful as heaven is, hell is also real, and heaven is an awful, terrible, horrible place. By the way, hell was not created for you and me. Hell was created for the devil and for his angels. It was created for the demons of hell. And the Bible tells us that God's desire is not for anybody to go to hell. God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. John chapter 3, we just read the verse number 17. God sent not his son into the world to condemn the world. God didn't send his son because he wanted people to go to hell. God sent his son because he wanted everyone to be able to receive the son and to accept the son and to have eternal life. Mark chapter 9, the Bible says that in hell there is a fire that never shall be quenched. Matthew chapter 25, the Bible speaks of the conditions of hell, and it speaks of everlasting fire. Matthew 25, 46, it is everlasting punishment. Revelation chapter 20, the Bible says that in hell they are tormented day and night forever and ever. But Revelation 20 goes on to say this, and whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Friend, I want to tell you, that's important right there, because the Bible says that's everybody. That's anybody who does not have their name written in the book of life. It is recorded in heaven. And if your name is in that book, the Bible says you are saved. You are in heaven and you will be forever. But if your name is not in the book of life, the Bible says that your destination is a lake of fire that is forever. It is for eternity. This life is so short. This life is temporal. And by the way, whether you live to be 40 or 50 or 60 or 70 or 80 or Lacey and Savannah and I, we were at Liberty Commons, got to see Miss Tivi Medlin, who is 99 years old. But can I tell you, it doesn't matter how long you live. Life is short. It seems like you blink and a year is gone. You blink and 5 years is gone and 10 years is gone. And you blink and remember when they were babies? Now they're getting ready to graduate from high school, right? Remember, you blinked again, and they're not graduating from high school. They're getting married. They're having babies. And then you blink again, and wait a minute. It's not grandchildren now. It's great-grandchildren. And you say, where does the time go? It's so fast. And life is so short. The Bible says that it is appointed unto men once to die. Every one of us in this room, unless Jesus comes back before the time of our death, we will die. There will be a funeral. There will be a casket. There will be a grave. There will be a goodbye for this body and for this life. But the Bible says it's appointed unto men once to die. You don't come back for reincarnation. You don't come back for another try. You don't come back and get another shot at it. Folks, this is not video games. This is not pushing a reset button. This is not let's start over. We are given one life, and the Bible says that we will all die, but after this, the Bible says, there is a judgment. And that judgment is held for those who have rejected Christ. That judgment is held at a great white throne. And the Bible says that on that great white throne, there is a judge. And this judge on the great white throne is not a human judge. This is not a mortal judge. This is a judge whose judgment is right and just and perfect, and he knows everything. And this judge at that great white throne judgment, Jesus Christ will have the books taken, and the book will be opened, which is the book of life. And if your name is not in the book of life, the Bible says you will be cast into a lake of fire. I'm not telling you what a Baptist church says. I'm not just telling you what a Baptist preacher thinks. I'm not just telling you what people have said and what I've heard. I'm telling you what God's Word says, and God's Word says that there is life after death, and it is forever, and there are only two options. It's either heaven or it's hell. We find that there's a judgment. And at the judgment, if you pay for your sins yourself, you will be sentenced. You will be condemned, as John 3 says, to an eternity in hell. But you can either pay for your sins yourself, or you can let Jesus pay for your sins for you. And by the way, He's already paid for them. He already died. He already suffered. He already shed His blood. And He did that to pay for your sins. And so you can accept His payment for your sins, or you can decide you're going to try to take care of it on your own. But if you take care of it on your own, if I take care of it on my own, there is only one destination, and that is an eternity in a place called hell. Matthew chapter 19, you don't have to turn there. But there was a young man that came to Jesus. And he said this to Jesus. He said, "What good thing shall I do to inherit eternal life?" First of all, that's not the right question. Because the answer to that question is nothing. There's nothing good you can do. There's nothing good I can do. You can't go to church enough. You can't get baptized enough. You can't help little old ladies across the street enough. You can't be enough of a good neighbor. You can't give enough money to the poor. You can't do enough to get yourself to heaven, because there's still, at the end of the day, a problem. And that problem is all that good doesn't take away your sin. There's only one thing that can wash away your sin, and that is the blood of Jesus Christ. And His blood was shed for you, and His blood was shed for me. But this rich young ruler, he says, "What good thing shall I do that I may inherit eternal life?" And the answer is, there's nothing good you can do, because everything has already been done for you. Jesus paid it all. Jesus already paid the price. Jesus already did what was necessary for you and I to have eternal life in heaven. But then we get to John chapter 3. And in John chapter 3, there is a man by the name of Nicodemus. He comes to Jesus, and he is questioning Jesus. He's trying to figure out what Jesus and His teachings are all about. John the Baptist has been preaching, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." Jesus comes on the scene, and He's preaching, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." And Nicodemus says, "I want to know how to get into this kingdom. I want to make sure that I've got a ticket to get from this world to the next. I want to be able to get from this life into heaven." And Nicodemus is curious, "How can I get to heaven?" And notice in verse number 3, Jesus answered and said unto him, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Jesus said there's only one way you can enter the kingdom of God. There's only one way you can get to heaven, and that is you must be born again. Now, we sing songs about being born again, and we talk about being a born again child of God and all that, but I want to make sure you understand what that means. Born again is not just a bumper sticker you put on your car. And by the way, if you do have a born again bumper sticker, make sure your driving reflects that, right? Say, "What kind of bumper sticker do you have, Pastor?" I don't have a bumper sticker, because I'm not so sure I could live up to it. Born again is not just a t-shirt you wear. Child of God is not just a sign you put up on your wall. Being born again is a transformation that takes place in your life. When you put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, you become born into the family of God. I'm so glad that Jesus used this example, because I've said so many times, and you've heard it many times, but I'm glad that God used this example, because when I was born, there is nothing I could do to be unborn. And when you get born into the family of God, there is nothing you can do to undo it. You are a child of God, and you have everlasting life. You have eternal life, and your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And I'm glad it's not written with a pencil and an eraser. I'm glad that it is written and it is there forever because you have been born into God's family. You must be born again. There is no other way to get to heaven. John chapter 3. Jesus is explaining to Nicodemus what it means to be born again. How do you get born again? How does that happen to you? Verse number 14, Jesus said, "And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up." That's an amazing story in the Old Testament. By the way, in the Old Testament, there were serpents that were biting the children of Israel because of their sin. And they would be bit by that serpent. And there was no cure and there was no remedy. They would die from that bite unless they looked at the brazen serpent that Moses had set up on a pole. And if they would look, they could live. And Jesus said, as Moses was lifted up, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. And Jesus was saying, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to be on a cross, and I'm going to be lifted up. And if, as I'm lifted up, all you have to do is look to me. You see, salvation is not earning. Salvation is not buying. Salvation is not paying for. Salvation is receiving. Salvation is accepting. Salvation is believing. It is looking to Jesus and realizing he's the only way you're getting to heaven. No other way. But as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever, that's anybody. I'm glad you don't have to be smart to be saved. I'm glad you don't have to be rich to be saved. I'm glad you don't have to be young to be saved. You don't have to be old to be saved. You can be saved if you are a whosoever. And that's you and that's me. Whosoever believeth. That word believe, it means to trust. It means you can't understand it. You can't explain it. You can't figure it all out. Salvation is by faith. Salvation is not of you and not of me, but it is all of God. It is a gift. Whosoever believeth in him should not perish. That word perish there is not just talking about dying. It is not just talking about being killed or put to death, but it is literally a sentence in hell for eternity. And Jesus said, whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. I'd like you to see, first of all, I've given you a long introduction. Let me give you the message. Number one, I see in this passage, there is a provider. The only way you and I could ever be saved is because God has given it to us. Because God has provided the way of salvation. God so loved the world that he gave. He is the provider. God sent his Son. He gave us. The Bible says that salvation, it is the gift of God. What do you do with a gift? You don't pay for it. You don't work for it. You receive it. You accept it. And the moment you accept the gift of salvation, it is yours. And once you receive the gift of eternal life, God's not taking it back. God's not changing his mind. Aren't you glad that God doesn't change his mind like some of us? Aren't you glad that God's not fickle like some of us? Aren't you glad that God's not having a good day one day and a bad day the next? God has said, you shall be saved if you'll receive the gift of eternal life. I see the provider, number one. Number two, I see the price. God gave his Son, but Jesus had to die. Remember Jesus in the garden before he went to the cross? He said, Father, not my will, but thine be done. Jesus was not taken and killed, but Jesus offered himself and he gave himself to be killed. Jesus wasn't forced to die, he willingly died. So that you and I could have eternal life. I see the provider, number one. Number two, I see the price. Jesus had to die. But thirdly, I see the plan. The plan is this. You must believe to be saved. It's that simple. And that's why I think some people have a hard time. Some people think, well, I got to do something. You know, God does some of the work and I'll do the rest. No, no, no. God does all the work and you do none of the work. God pays all the price and you pay zero. God provided a sacrifice. Jesus paid the price when he gave his life for us. But then the plan is, you just have to believe. You just have to put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. And you say, is it that simple? Yes, it's so simple that even a child can understand it. You don't have to have a college education to get saved. You don't have to have a high school diploma to get saved. You don't have to be smart. You don't have to speak Hebrew and Greek and speak other language. No, you just have to believe that you're a sinner and believe that Jesus died for your sin. And you just have to believe that if you'll accept him, he will accept you as you are and he will save you. That's God's plan. But then I see the punishment. The punishment is this. If you do not believe, you cannot be saved. If I do not believe, if I do not receive the gift of eternal life, the Bible says, I have been condemned. And that condemnation is a punishment that is eternal. Friend, we're not talking about something that lasts for a few months or lasts for a few years or lasts for a few minutes. We're talking about something that is forever. So, Pastor, I just don't believe in that. I don't believe that God would send anybody to hell, and I don't believe that God is loving and is merciful and as good as God is. I just don't believe that he would send anybody to hell. And I would say to that, you're absolutely right. He doesn't send anybody to hell. We send ourselves there when we reject his love. God didn't want you to have to go to hell. That's why he allowed his son to hang on a cross. That's why he allowed his son to suffer and bleed, and that's why God turned his back on his own son, and Jesus cried out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And heaven was silent. There was no answer because God could not look upon his son who had the sin of the world, past, present, and future, all placed upon him. And God doesn't send people to hell. We send ourselves to hell when we reject the love and the mercy and the goodness and the grace of God. This question this morning, are you prepared for eternity? It's more important than anything else in your life. It's more important than your job. It's more important than your bank account. It's more important than your retirement. It's more important than your sports. It's more important than your hobbies. It's more important than your video games. It's more important than anything in this life. Do you know for sure that you're on your way to heaven? Are you prepared for eternity? I've shared the story a few years ago, and you may remember this. It may sound familiar to you. But there was a man, I think it was in the 1980s, who was a photographer. He went to Alaska to take pictures of wildlife, and he went to such a remote area that they had to drop him off on one of those planes that would land on the lakes there, and they dropped him off. He had all of his supplies. He had the film for the camera. He had food. He had weapons. He had ammunition. He had everything he needed to make it through from April till about August, September. He was there, and he had his diary, his journal that he kept every day. He was out in the wilderness by himself, too far to any town to get there. He was just wanted to be out in the middle of nowhere. They found his body almost a year later, not quite, but he had realized a very tragic detail, and that is, in all of his planning, in all of the preparation for his trip, he recorded in his journal, he said, I fear that I have failed to make arrangements for my departure. With all the planning he did, he never got the return trip booked. The pilot assumed that somebody else was getting him. The pilot assumed that somebody else was going to come. The pilot was never asked to come back and never given a time. And so the pilot just said, well, hey, I'm sure he's got it figured out. But he didn't. And friend, how sad it would be to live this life, to take care of yourself and your children and your spouse and your job and your animals and your property and your investments, and to take care of all those things, but to forget to arrange for your exit from this life. Because the Bible says we are all going to die. And when we die, there is the judgment. And at that judgment, it will be determined whether you go to heaven or hell, not based upon your works, but it will be determined based upon whether or not you have accepted Jesus Christ or if you have rejected him. That's all it is. But you've got to be prepared. With our heads bowed and our eyes closed, I want to ask you a few questions this morning. And I'd ask you to consider these truths between you and me and the Lord. I'm not going to ask you to stand up and say anything. I'm not going to ask you to give a testimony. I'm not going to ask you to write something down and pass it in. But I would ask you to examine your heart today and your life. And I want to ask you first, are you saved? That word saved is a Bible word. It means you've been saved from hell. You are saved to go to heaven. You have trusted Jesus as your Savior. You've been born again. You're a child of God. Are you saved? I said it during the announcements, but when did you get saved? You may not remember the exact date, but maybe you say, I know I was in fifth grade, or I know I was 15, or I know I was 23, but when did you get saved? Where were you when you got saved? Was it at church? Was it at home? Was it at school? Was it in a vehicle? Was it out on a walk? I mean, I don't know, but you ought to know when you got saved. You ought to know where you got saved. And if you don't know when and you don't know where, maybe today you're struggling with that because you've never been saved. I'd never want to talk anybody out of salvation. But I also would never want to talk anybody into it. And I'd never want someone to come to Victory Baptist Church and sit on these pews and feel like, oh, I'm good. I'm good because I come to church. I'm good because I'm a nice person. No, you've got to be born again. Are you saved? But then I'd ask you this question, are you sure? Do you have confidence? Do you have assurance? Jesus came that we might have eternal life and everlasting life, and these things are written that ye may know that you have eternal life. God didn't intend for his people to doubt and question and wonder. Now, we all have times of questioning, I'm sure, but you shouldn't be living that way every day. There ought to be assurance that God said it and you believe it and that you trust in him and his word and what he has said. And then I'll ask you this last question is, are you living for eternity? Are you telling others? If heaven is real, and it is, and hell is real, and it is, then what are we doing to warn others? What are we doing to help others? What are we doing to share the good news with others?
Thank you for listening to the preaching podcast of Victory Baptist Church in Roanoke Rapids, North Carolina, led by Pastor Jeremy Coburnack. For more information about our ministry, please visit our website at vbcrr.org. May God bless you as you serve him this week.